Welcome to YFC for Parents, a weekly radio broadcast for parents of teenagers. Youth for Christ is committed to helping parents effectively raise their teens in today's challenging world. Now, here's your host, Kaylee Akina.
Welcome to YFC for Parents. Today we're going to talk about ethics and healthcare, a crucial issue in our world today, whether we're talking about the beginning of life or the end of life, and anywhere in between those two points. Can you imagine for a moment healthcare without ethics at all? Can you imagine a healthcare industry that turns out technicians who perform on human beings as if they were machines and cars in a factory without any consideration of the importance of life, higher values, what's before life, what's after life, and so forth? Well, hopefully we don't have to ever experience that world, because there are places where ethics at a very high level, indeed Christian ethics, are practiced. Many hospitals in our country today, and one of them happens to be Castle Medical Center. Today it is our privilege to talk with a friend of mine, a man whom I respect tremendously as a leader in our community, the president and CEO of Castle Medical Center, Kevin Roberts. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kalee. It's great to be here.
Well, Kevin, you know, I always love talking with you, whether we're having lunch or as you've been on the radio program here before. And certainly, I think you have a lot to offer young people, especially, as well as people of all ages. But, you know, in this area of healthcare and ethics, how important a subject is it? Why is it important for us to be concerned about ethics when we talk about healthcare?
Well, it is really the foundation of medicine, of contemporary medicine, of honorable medicine. As we know, when we look back in history, there was a lot of dishonorable medicine that occurred prior to many of the scientific breakthroughs and so forth. And unfortunately, that became kind of a stereotype for the hucksters or of the past. So it is so important, because people put so much faith and trust in their doctor and their hospital when they have such literally life needs to sustain their lives. We have to be centered as healthcare providers to make the right decisions and give the right advice based on the needs of the patient, rather than some self-interest that the institution or the individual might have. So ethics is the bedrock of quality, honorable healthcare.
You speak of history, and of course, anyone who's followed history of medicine knows, in a sense, ethics begins with Hippocrates and the oath to do no harm.
Yes.
How well do you think the Hippocratic Oath, or at least the spirit of that oath, is being followed in American hospitals today?
I think it's getting better and better. And most of that is about the science of quality and clinical outcomes and things like that.
So technology actually empowers us to practice ethics.
Absolutely, and the gathering of national and worldwide data and best practices. I think the future of healthcare quality is good, because there are so many people studying it, passionate about it, and developing the best practices, so that there is we're doing the right things.
I would agree with you that technology makes it possible for us to do things we could never have done before. But at the same time, remember that movie Jurassic Park?
Yes.
The Jeff Goldblum figure, after everything has fallen apart and we see the consequences of what the crazy doctor has done, he turns to them and he says, "You guys were so busy working on what you could do, you never stopped to ask what you should do."
Right.
Do you ever see that tension in medicine?
Not at the bedside, fortunately. Okay. Back at the lab, I'm not a researcher, but I know in research they debate those sorts of things, on an ongoing basis, particularly when you look at genomics and cloning and all of these kind of wild, far-fetched technologies that are really available to us now. But at the bedside, most of those debates have been mitigated, so that when we're actually delivering the medicine, we've got good evidence basis for it and FDA approvals and so forth.
I see.
Yes.
So would I be correct in saying then, in the actual practice of medicine, we're more concerned about beginning of life and end of life issues?
Yes, that's really where that's the intersection of debate and of and the hardest decisions are made in this industry.
What kind of challenges would a hospital like yours be facing with respect to end-of-life issues?
Well, with the aging of the population, the baby boomers getting older and them having issues in managing, helping their parents, it really becomes this all-consuming issue of life, and helping families to make decisions of discussions that they never had just ultimately painful and very, very difficult. So in our hospital, we have an end-of-life specialist, palliative care physician is what she's called, and many hospitals do this, not just ours. But that is a physician that is trained specifically to help to understand all of the medical dynamics, but also to help families and individuals cope with end-of-life decisions, to make smart decisions that use the technology in an appropriate way so that quality of life is maintained and improved rather than just maintaining, you know, biological systems.
So you take into consideration the many people that surround the patient, whether it's spouse, children, other family members, and so forth, in coming to a decision.
Absolutely.
And when that happens, what kinds of difficulties arise in those moments of crisis? Because as you said, it's not discussions that people are trained in having. And there is no doubt a huge amount of emotion. I don't know about you. I've been in the center of that in my own family.
Mm.
But what do you see there, some of the big challenges that you need to take care of on an ethical level?
Well, these are the same dramas that you see on most medical TV dramas, where you've got someone who has signed an advance directive, for instance.
All right. And why not just spell that out for our listeners?
Yes. An advance directive is a document that it tells, while you're lucid and relatively healthy, and in your sound mind, they call it, have instructed the future medical teams that will take care of you what you would like to happen in the event that you are unable to speak for yourself.
And so then presumably the document will speak for you. It will state your wishes so that healthcare providers know exactly what you want to have done.
Exactly. And sometimes family members would like to dispute what the individual has instructed. And that's where it gets hard. I mean, if that advance directive is A, first, complete, B, followed, then it's still painful to watch someone pass on and to suffer, you know, systems failure and deteriorating condition. But at least it's done in kind of a noble and sacred manner, because everything's happening as it should, because everybody's getting what they want. I mean, the individual is getting ultimately what they've asked for, and the family is having, of course, to be the audience for this. And so they suffer the most, but ultimately it's a dignified process. But when you get into a controversy where the advance directive hasn't been completed and there are some obvious terminal conditions, that's the worst case scenario, because not only do you not know what the patient wanted, you learn very quickly what everybody else wants, and they rarely agree, and sometimes they aren't founded in what you would consider rational thinking. And so the care team then has to dissect that and unravel that and help the family process, and that's where it gets ultimately complex.
Kevin, that was a fascinating explanation. Let's put a bookmark here, come right back to where we are, talking about what happens in these situations where it's not clear what the patient really wants and the family is involved. I'm talking with Kevin Roberts, President and CEO of Castle Medical Center. We're talking about ethics and healthcare on YFC for Parents, and we'll be right back after this.
Looking for some practical advice to help you raise your teenager? Then don't miss YFC's powerful 2-hour seminar entitled Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. Life Coach Your Teens is the new program from YFC that will help you bring the best out of your teenager. You'll learn how to coach your child to achieve goals, set priorities, handle failures, and cope with anger. YFC Executive Director Kaylee Aquina will share with you from more than two decades of working with teens and parents. Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. To schedule this free seminar for your church or community group, call Youth for Christ at 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Also, tune into our weekly broadcast of YFC for Parents on AM 760 KGU, Tuesday night at 6.
Welcome back to YFC for Parents. This is Kaylee Aquina. Today we're talking about ethics and health care, and we're so privileged to have the president of Castle Medical Center, president and CEO, Kevin Roberts, with us. And we're going to dive right back into the scenario that he was unfolding for us. This is so instructive, Kevin, to be able to see the dynamics of ethics at work in a real situation that you face over and over again in the hospital. You were talking about an advanced directive, a document that when it is completed well, documented, completed, followed, and so forth, makes the process of caring for someone at the end of life so much easier, so much more objective. And yet, in reality, this documentation isn't always together, or it's disputed, or there's something that enters that dynamic when the emotions of family members come together. You were talking a bit about that. Let's go right back into that.
Okay. Yes. The when the document is present and followed, there's a dignified process that allows a person to pass on with less controversy. The real trouble comes when you've got either the lack of the advance directive or a dispute thereof. And that is where the care team then, they have some guidelines to follow, but they don't have a good roadmap because every situation is different. And so the first and foremost thing is to educate the family or the patient about the realities of the conditions that they're in. Uh-huh. And that education can come from case managers, physicians, nurses, social workers, all of these people that are professionally trained to communicate these very sensitive subjects to patients and their families. But then that's like throwing a ball. You know, do they catch it or not? And if they catch it, well, then you can get back on track and follow a fairly dignified route. But if the ball is not caught on the other side, then the care team has to just kind of recycle the information, try to approach it in different ways, sometimes allow some time to pass to see if the hopes of the family or the patient, you know, come to pass. None of us are God. We do not know the end, with certainty. We know it with probability. And so we use the best judgment that we have. And so the care team will then have to sometimes wait and then revisit it and take a different angle. And it's not, like I say, there's not one right way to approach that, but it's always difficult and complicated. But usually, in the end, people are able to accept some of the inevitabilities of serious healthcare conditions, and then adapt a plan that makes sense for the patient. Ultimately, that's the hardest part sometimes for people, to take the focus off of themselves and what this means to me in my life, and how am I going to live without this person, as opposed to what does this person want and need. Very complex.
It sounds like you've got a lot of experience looking into these situations. What do you say to someone who wants his or her own way, whether it's a spouse who doesn't want to let go of the patient, or whether it's an older sibling who knows what the financial drain is, and so forth? I'm not asking you to address either of those situations, but rather in general, what do you tell people who are in the thick of it, loving family members who just can't let go of advocating for their own way, their own value? And how do you deal with it?
As an administrator, I'm not the discusser of those concepts, but I know that the care team, when they do that, focus on what is right for the patient, what is best for them. When you take your focus off of the patient themselves, you're at risk of you're losing sight of your objective.
So the highest value for the practitioners in that moment is to get people to look at the need of the patient, what is best for the patient.
Yes, what will be their quality of life? How much of their previous functioning can be anticipated to recover? Is the disease process, you know, such as cancer or some other debilitating disease, progressing quickly, and can it be reversed? I mean, there's so many things, and
sure.
And sometimes the times that this doesn't work well is when you don't have. Is when the physicians or the care team themselves aren't prepared to have these kinds of discussions. And doctors are not hired or trained
right.
to let their patients go, are they? They are there to retrieve them from the jaws of death, for Pete's sake. I mean, that's what gets a doctor up in the morning, not to let go of life, but to preserve it. So they have a lot of internal conflicts at times with, you know, they came to me to heal, not to pass on. And how do I let go? And sometimes the doctors have that trouble too.
Now, that's very interesting, because sometimes we tend to think it's just the family members and the friends and the patient
No.
who are struggling with emotion, but you're saying the healthcare providers, physicians themselves, and I'm sure nurses
Oh,
as
absolutely.
Well, have to navigate what they feel with ultimately what they conclude is right. When we come back from a short break, I want to ask about another consideration, a consideration you have the luxury of making in your hospital because you're a Christian institution, and that is not just the question of what is right and good for the patient, but what is right and godly to do in a moment as well. My guest today is Kevin Roberts, President and CEO of Castle Medical Center. We're talking about ethics and healthcare, just a very fascinating discussion. If you'd like to get a copy of this broadcast or any other broadcast we've done, it's available free of charge at our website, yfcforparents.org. That's yfcforparents.org, just full of fascinating stuff for you to share around the dinner table with your kids. Again, my guest today, we'll be right back with him, Kevin Roberts, President of Castle Medical Center, talking about ethics and healthcare. Aloha.
Looking for some practical advice to help you raise your teenager? Then don't miss YFC's powerful 2-hour seminar entitled Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. Life Coach Your Teens is the new program from YFC that will help you bring the best out of your teenager. You'll learn how to coach your child to achieve goals, set priorities, handle failures, and cope with anger. YFC Executive Director Kaylee Akina will share with you from more than 2 decades of working with teens and parents. Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. To schedule this free seminar for your church or community group, call Youth for Christ at 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Also, tune into our weekly broadcast of YFC for Parents on AM 760 KGU, Tuesday night at 6.
Welcome back to YFC for Parents. Today we're talking about ethics and healthcare with my guest, President of Castle Medical Center, Kevin Roberts. And Kevin, that was just a fascinating segment we concluded just a minute ago, talking about all the emotional dynamics of not only the patient, but the patient's family and friends, and not just the patients, but the healthcare givers. And the process that the hospital has to see takes place is cutting through the emotion and getting to some fundamental issues. You mentioned one. And that was what is best for the patient.
Yes.
But I know that you have the privilege of leading a hospital that has a Christian heritage.
Yes.
It's part of a well-known Christian denomination, Castle Medical Center. And there you have taken a stand to say we also have another value that is supreme, and that is what is godly, what is right, what you consider to be the best practice based upon the Holy Scriptures. Before I go on, I just want to ask you, how many hospitals have this frame of reference? And what percentage of them would you say?
Oh, gosh. Quite a few. I don't know the national average. Uh-huh. We have 17 hospitals in our health system across the Western United States. Our system's called Adventist Health, and but there are many. There's a lot of faith-based hospitals in the country that draw Christ into their mission statement.
And when that's the case, and you're trying to navigate what's best at an end-of-life issue, how is the frame of reference of faith brought into the picture?
Well, in our institution, you start with a mission statement.
Okay.
The mission statement, of course, describes who you are and why you exist. Our mission statement is very simple. It's to care for our community and share God's love. And so when you put those two pillars together, you get a pretty high calling for what it is and how you do what you do. Because when you invoke the name of God in your mission statement, I think great things happen because it inspires the workforce. It gives him honor and glory, and I think that glory brings blessing, quite frankly. And so we value the healing ministry of Christ. That's one of our core values as a subset of that mission statement. And so these are powerful words that define what we do and why we do it.
When you say the healing ministry of Christ, does that also include prayer?
Absolutely. We encourage prayer. In fact, we pray over our PA system twice a day at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. just to invite the Lord into our presence and to ask his help in the healing and the ministry of the hospital.
You know, Kevin, I've been at your hospital quite a bit. I just had not picked that up, so I'm so glad to hear that. So you actually have prayer as a systemic part of the hospital environment, not just an opportunity to invite a chaplain of one's faith in, but rather it's just part of the way you operate the hospital experience.
Yes, it is. 7 days a week, and countless numbers of times I'll be visiting with a patient, and they'll say, thank you for that prayer this morning. It really spoke to my heart.
How about that?
And so and family members and staff members as well. So it is a beautiful part of a faith-driven organization that can do that and have that as part of who they are.
In our culture today, sometimes there's some misconceptions about faith-based medicine. Some people believe, and perhaps we of faith have been partly responsible for this, that faith-based means anti-technology in some way.
Oh, no.
And for some it has, unfortunately, but how would you respond to that if anyone tried to say that about your hospital?
Oh, we are very contemporary in the science of medicine and want to. I think God gave us good minds and allowed and inspired the advances in science for the purpose of helping us as humanity to serve each other in the best way possible. And so, we're very contemporary in all of those things, and we follow the best practices that we can, but we never lose sight of the Lord in the middle of all of this, because one thing you may not know, Kali'i, is that there is a science of spirituality in healthcare that it's just emerging. Mm-hmm. And there's some fascinating things that we're learning about people that pray and are prayed for while they're sick, and whether they get well faster. Would you think that they get well faster?
Well, I would hope so.
Well, we can prove it. They do. And it's not, I had a skeptic ask me, so what does that mean? And I said, well, I don't think it means that God loves the people that are praying more than he loves those that don't, because he loves us all. He came to serve, to die for us all. But there is an effect that comes in through prayer and through the community of believers that surround someone who is sick, and also the act of believing and trusting has a healing component to it. Isn't that fascinating? It just excites me to think about that and to see the science. It's a social science, of course, but it is being evolving in the literature right now.
You know, what's exciting is just to see the enthusiasm with which you speak about this. I know earlier we were talking about some administrative issues. I didn't see that enthusiasm.
Sorry.
to that extent in our break. But you just light up, and I'm saying this because radio is an audio medium. Yes. People can hear it in your voice, but they can't see your eyes. That you're sparkling when you're talking about this holistic process of treating mm-hmm. people with first-rate technology, mm-hmm. and yet in an environment bathed in prayer and belief in the power of God to heal.
Well, ultimately, God gets such a bad rap these days. And when you can look at what happens when he inspires his people and they follow the manual for the human race, which I believe the Bible to be, things happen and good things happen. And so it's just exciting for me as a healthcare, I'm a scientist at heart. I'm a, you know, nursing is a very science-based
yes.
Field and biology and all of that. So it really, really juices me up to see that these faith, these elements of faith are being recognized scientifically as being meaningful. I mean, not as a magic pill or as a slogan or formula of chanting. You know, this isn't an incantation. This is a life of faith and what it means in the human beings.
Absolutely. You made a reference, which is a great one for us to close on, and that is actually to the manual for our health and for everything,
yes.
our ethics as well, as we've been talking about today, and that's the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I want to thank you so much for representing a viewpoint that I really believe our culture needs to hear, the importance of faith, not just ethics, but faith based on the truth of the Word of God and a faith in the power of the living God when we come to caring for ourselves in the hospital or wherever else that may be.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. It's a true ministry.
Thank you, Kali. It's been great to be here. And thank you for your ministry to the youth of Hawaii. I mean, that is powerful stuff.
Well, and aloha to you for all that you and Castle Medical Center do.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Kevin Roberts, President and CEO of Castle Medical Center, talking about ethics in healthcare. Do get a copy of this for free at YFC for Parents.
You've been listening to Kali'i Akina, Executive Director of Youth for Christ Hawaii. If today's program has been helpful to you, we invite you to join the family of YFC supporters. In gratitude for your contribution of $25 or more, we'll send you a free copy of YFC's new book, Life Coach Your Teens, by Roger Cross. Visit our website at yfcforparents.org. YFC for Parents airs on AM 760 KGU every Tuesday at 6 p.m. For program information, visit our website at yfcforparents.org or call 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Until next time, aloha.